My earlier arrival with the unknown huntress filled the air as I approached the Bon and Jenkins.
"Viren, what is going on?"
the Bon whispered fiercely to me.
"The wood is infested with giant spiders? You found someone too?"
"Not all the wood." I paused to give the Bon an outline of my adventures in the webwood, finishing with the discovery of the huntress.
"They are still far enough away, then,"
the Bon sighed, more to himself than me.
"I had no idea there was anyone else nearby. Hopefully this huntress will wake and tell us exactly what she was doing in the area."
"We'll have to deal with the spiders eventually,"
Jenkins broke into the conversation.
"Between me and the militia, we barely have enough people to form a watch to cover the entire day and night, let alone go hunting for marauding spiders."
"What can we do, Jenkins?" The Bon held his hands up and shrugged.
"If we leave the village uncovered to search for spiders, then we leave it wide open for the goblins to swoop in behind us."
"I have friends, other adventurers like myself, that should arrive here tomorrow, and countless more behind them as well," I offered quickly before Jenkins could reply. "Once they arrive, we can work on thinning the spiders and beating them back." The Bond's eyes shot up at the mention of more adventurers arriving, but I could see that he was nervous about that fact as well. Adventurers always brought their own sort of trouble with them.
"Very well. I'll leave the spiders in your hands for the moment." "May I have your attention, please?"
Moving to address the crowd, Bon Alduin spoke in a loud and clear voice.
"The rumors that you have all heard are indeed true. There are giant spiders living in the forest to the west of Crater Lake, in an area now known as the Webwood. However, have no fear. Our goblin-slaying hero, Lirian, has already called on other adventurers for aid and is expecting them to arrive soon to help thin the ranks of the arachnid menace. Please go on about your regular business. Everything here is well in hand."
The crowd listened to the Bond's short speech, placated by the promise of the coming adventurers. I overheard some further nervous remarks about the spider-infested forest, but the crowd began to disperse quickly. At that moment, my quest log chimed with a new quest alert. New quest, cleansing the webwood. Open, group. The village of Aldford is threatened by the encroaching spiders of the webwood. Slay as many spiders as possible to relieve the threat against the village. Spider slain, 0 out of 1,000. Difficulty, hard. Reward, experience, reputation, 100 gold pieces. Reward proportional to percentage contributed. I read over the quest log and gaped. What had I just gotten myself into? Chapter 11. After the villagers had fully dispersed, the Bon thought it was best to return to the town hall for a bit of rest, and to be on hand if the huntress awoke, the three of us retreating to the Bon's study on the upper floor of the hall.
"Lirian, I've noticed that your skill has been steadily increasing since you've arrived, and your time as a novice is nearly over. I was wondering if you had given any thought to choosing a class."
"I had thought of it, but I didn't quite know what was available to me just yet." I paused for a moment, looking at both the Bon and Jenkins. It was slightly surreal to have NPCs talking to me this way, but at the same time, with Ascend Online being a closed system, what other way could the player get that sort of information? "Is it rude to ask what classes you've chosen?"
"Not at all,"
Jenkins exclaimed, shaking his head.
"I'm a warrior." "The same as me," Bon Alduin echoed Jenkins.
"What other base classes are there?"
"Well..."
The Bon started to speak, just as an information box appeared across my vision. "Tutorial. Choosing a base class. Congratulations on nearly completing your novice class. The Ascend development team hopes that you have managed to experience a wide variety of playstyles in order to make an informed choice about your base class. Once a base class is chosen, you will not be able to change your class in the future. Proceed carefully. Note, In order to prevent excessive metagaming, specific class abilities are not shown in this tutorial. Based on the detected playstyle, your recommended base classes are Mage, Monk, Rogue, Scout, Spellsword, Warrior. I looked over the list of base classes the system had recommended for me. Ascend has a branching class system, I reminded myself, remembering the level progression that appeared when I was creating my character. At level 10, I would choose my base class, and again at level 30, I would have a chance to branch into an advanced class, and eventually at level 70 into a prestige class. In my previous games, I traditionally gravitated towards either a rogue or warrior role. However, this time was the first time I had the option to play a hybrid melee arcane caster. Intrigued to see what waited for me down each road, I brought up the class information for the rogue, spellsword, and warrior. Base class, Rogue. A cunning and deadly adventurer, relying on surprise and crippling blows to take down their enemies. Masters of stealth, they can often enter and exit a battlefield without ever being seen. Role, damage, recon. HP progression, moderate. Armor, light. Weapon skills, sword, dagger, unarmed, crossbow, shortbow, throwing. Class difficulty, high. Requirements, any above weapon skill level 9. Learned 2 martial weapon skills, complete. Stealth level 9. Learned 2 stealth skills. Base class, Spellsword. A mobile melee-oriented warrior that blends magic and martial prowess into a unique fighting style. Can learn a mix of martial skills and arcane spells, resulting in a deadly storm of steel and magic. Role, damage, recon, support. HP progression, moderate. Armor, light. Weapon skills, sword, dagger, axe, mace, unarmed. Arcane trees, evocation, abjuration, alteration, conjuration. Class difficulty, high. Requirements, any above weapon skill level 9. Learned 2 martial weapon skills, complete. Any above arcane tree level 9. Scribed 2 arcane spells. Base class, warrior. Masters of combat that take on the deadliest foes head-to-head without any hesitation. They are able to shrug off blows that would leave others crippled or dead. Roll, damage, tank. HP progression, high. Armor, light, medium, heavy, shields. Weapon skills, sword, dagger, axe, mace, polearm, unarmed, crossbow, shortbow, longbow, throwing. Class difficulty, average. Requirements, 3 above weapon skills level 7. Learned 5 martial weapon skills. I read through the class information, noting the requirements to unlock the class. While I did like the rogue, the spellsword spoke loudest to me. Bringing both support and damage would make me reasonably high in demand when it came to grouping with others, and it fit my character's stat growth perfectly. I selected spellsword as my base class choice. Are you sure you wish to become a spellsword? The choice is irreversible. Yes, no. Pausing for only a heartbeat, I selected yes. New quest, becoming a spellsword. Welcome to the path of the spellsword. In order to unlock the spellsword class, you must complete the following. Any spellsword weapon skill level 9. Any spellsword arcane tree level 9. Scribed 2 arcane spells. I've chosen to become a spellsword, I finally said aloud to the Bon and Jenkins.
A spellsword?
The Bon looked at me thoughtfully, as if he was going to say something.
Are you close to meeting your requirements?
I still need to work on both my swordwork and arcane skills. I shook my head slightly. I need one more additional spell as well.
That doesn't sound too bad, Jenkins spoke up. Though I'm not sure where you'll find any spells around here. I heard you bought the one Rit had.
I might be able to help with one, the Bond chimed in, standing to pull a sheet of parchment from a bookshelf.
He placed it on the desk in front of me.
I had a few of these scribed before we left. I'm sure it'll help you out.
Really? It can't be easy getting any spells out here. I started to say as I mentally brought the information up for the parchment the Bond had set in front of me. Arcane spell. Light. Evocation. Favored class, novice 1. Mana 10. The player temporarily creates light centered on themselves, illuminating up to 30 feet away for 1 hour. Do you wish to scribe this spell? Yes, no. Oh. I had thought back to the last day of me walking around the forest, flare in hand, with its meager illumination. That'll certainly help. I wouldn't be limited to hunting during the day anymore.
It's nothing. I have more.
Bon Aldwin waved me off.
Also, when you have time, come spar with me. I may be an old warrior, but I can certainly help you out with your blade work, and help you meet your class requirements.
I nodded at the Bon.
That would be great. It's the least I can do to help, after all you've done.
Speaking of help, I had a good hunt. I pulled a few leathers and ore out of my pack to demonstrate to the Bon and Jenkins. I also temporarily solved our food problems for the time being as well.
Oh?
Both Jenkins and the Bon looked quite interested in that bit of information. Ragna apparently has quite a few recipes for spider meat. In fact, she was ready to prepare the meat I bought her as a delicacy. I watched the two carefully to see what their reaction would be after I dropped that bit of news.
Well, Ragna has made us do on much less.
The Bon didn't seem overly excited about my news, but was willing to take it in stride. Jenkins, on the other hand, was bursting at the seams.
I've heard of a few spider meat recipes during my travels. When properly prepared, I've heard that it can give you an extra spring in your step. Are you sure that extra spring wasn't to get away from the meal itself?
The Bon grunted, then sighed.
I'm sorry, Lyrian. I'm sure it'll be more than adequate. I've never considered spiders as a food source before.
You should have played some of the games I've played, I thought to myself before replying. I have some other ideas as well about the militia's armor. A knock sounded at the door, interrupting my train of thought.
Bon Aldwin, the Huntress has awoken.
With no time to waste, we left the study, proceeding to make our way downstairs, the voice belonging to one of the villagers Shelia had conscripted to help her treat the Huntress.
Shelia says she's well enough to answer questions. I still wonder why she was out here in the first place,
Jenkins grumbled.
Maybe she's a member of the Surveyor's Guild?
As we made our way downstairs, we were thankful to find that the town hall was empty of any curious villagers. It would hopefully let us keep any new information from panicking anyone else today.
She was poisoned pretty seriously, but have managed to get the toxins out of her,
Shelia informed us.
She is fairly weak, but should be back on her feet in a day or two. Keep the questioning short. I'd like her to get some rest tonight. She needs it.
Coming around the blinds, I saw that Shelia's healing efforts greatly improved the Huntress's complexion. Her gray face had regained a more natural-looking olive complexion, and I could tell her hair was a dark raven color now that the webs had been removed from it. I looked back at Jenkins and Bon Aldwin, both hung back half a step, with the Bon indicating to me to take the lead.
Hi there. My name is Lyrian. I found you in the forest. You're safe, in the village of Aldford now. I tried to sound warm and soothing as I introduced myself. What's your name?
Hello, Lyrian,
the Huntress said weakly as I knelt down beside her cot. Despite her being awake, I could see that her eyes were glassy and exhausted. Being trapped in the spider's cocoon had certainly taken its toll on the young woman.
My name is Natasha. Thank you for finding me.
What were you doing in the forest, Natasha? Did you come from another settlement?
I was running from goblins. Oh,
Natasha started to become more animated as she spoke.
You have to get ready. Goblins are coming. They may have followed me.
I exchanged sharp looks between Bon Aldwin and Jenkins before looking back at Natasha.
I'm sorry. You're too late. Goblins have already tried to raid the village, but we killed them all.
Too late?
Natasha looked confused.
Tell me more of why you were running. Where did you come from?
I don't know where I am.
Natasha paused to think about it, her exhaustion clearly weighing on her.
We had a camp, 20 of us.
What were you doing out here?
The Bond finally decided to enter the conversation.
Were you looking for Oldford?
No.
Natasha shook her head.
We were searching for a ruin. The Mage's Guild sponsored us as a research expedition.
What happened, Natasha? Did the goblins attack you? I asked, trying to get back on track.
Yes. We were camped at night. They attacked. They cast the spell that caused our campfire to explode, quickly followed by our tents.
Natasha closed her eyes as she started to fade.
I couldn't do anything. I just ran. I'm still a novice. This was my first time away from Iberia. I grabbed what I could and ran. The goblins always sounded like they were close behind. I remember something biting my foot and falling.
Natasha sleepily rubbed her face as she tried to recall the details of the last few days.
I remember waking up. I couldn't move much or see anything. If I moved too much, something bit me.
You ran into the webwood, an area infested with giant spiders, I explained to Natasha. I found you tucked away into a cocoon.
Spiders? Oh, then I would have been...
Natasha's eyes shot open.
Eaten! I think that might be enough for now,
Shelia broke in as Natasha started to get visibly upset.
Natasha needs to rest. She'll be better to answer more questions later.
The three of us gave Shelia some space as she went to console Natasha and took a seat at one of the tables at the far side of the hall. Any idea what she could have meant by expedition? I asked.
Not really, Jenkins started. Despite how close we are to Iberia, this area hasn't been explored all that much. It was only recently that the Surveyors Guild declared this land free of serious threats and opened land for settlement and further exploration. The Mages Guild might have had a lead in particular for something in the area,
the Bond shrugged.
They are well within their rights to do so.
I did find a small underground ruin by Crater Lake, I offered, remembering the previous day's adventure. It was mostly destroyed. Bon Aldwin sat quietly with his hands clasped together.
The goblins concern me. They attacked that expedition before raiding us,
Jenkins pointed out, bringing us back on track.
Why are the goblins raiding the area? Did they try to take prisoners there, too?
It might not have been the same group of goblins, I offered. How would they have crossed the webwood?
Well,
we dissected the results of the questioning for a short while, but it became apparent to me that nothing would actually be solved here. Threads like these were designed to get adventurers like me intrigued and out looking for quests. Hell, with everything going on here, I was willing to bet Razor that an event was brewing. That could wait for later. Right now, I wanted to get ready for my gang's arrival tomorrow. It'd finally be the end of solo play, and we'd finally be able to get some real work done. For what I had planned, though, it wouldn't do to have them wandering around undergeared. I bid farewell to the Bond and Jenkins and made my way to the workshop. It was time to start crafting again. Chapter 12. Wednesday, February 6th, 2047, 6:16 a.m., Oldford. Good morning, players. Great and unique secrets await the players who carefully pay attention to their surroundings. Leave no stone unturned. Thank you and enjoy your time in Ascend Online. CTI Development Team. I awoke groggily the next day on the floor of the workshop. Shit. Must have fallen asleep, I thought to myself as I picked myself up off the floor. I had spent the rest of the afternoon and evening refining the materials I'd collected, then worked late into the night assembling a few sets of armor and weapons. Stifling a yawn, I quickly glanced over the fruits of my labor over the last night. Bronze-studded leather tunic, 5. Bronze-studded leather pants, 5. Hardened leather boots, 5. Hardened leather gloves, 5. Bronze-studded cap, 5. Bronze longsword, 2. Bronze short sword, 2. Bronze mace, 1. With the refining and crafting, my leatherworking skill doubled to reach level 8, along with slight progress in my blacksmithing skill, also reaching level 8. The biggest experience gain in crafting seemed to come from making items I hadn't made before, or successfully creating a new prototype design, something I made sure to keep in mind for the future. Out of idle curiosity, I brought up the stats for the weapons I had crafted. Bronze longsword, slot, main hand or offhand, item class, common, item quality, normal, damage 10 to 20, slashing, durability 120 out of 120, weight 1 kilogram, favorite class, novice, base metal bronze, level 5. Bronze short sword, slot, main hand or offhand, item class, common, item quality, normal, damage 18 to 15, slashing, durability 90 out of 90, weight 0.5 kilograms, favored class novice, base metal bronze, level 5. Bronze mace, slot, main hand or offhand, item class common, item quality normal. Damage 14 to 22, crushing, durability 120 out of 120. Weight 1.5 kilograms, favored class novice, base metal bronze, level 5. I mentally nodded at the expected differences in weapon types. Something that I knew was important after the fight with the skeleton. It would pay to have a few decent weapons on hand that could bypass damage reduction. I needed more materials to do that, though. At least I had enough to give everyone a basic set of armor and a weapon to start. Plus, this was still the novice levels, no use in burning through all my materials just yet. With a huge yawn, I shrugged to myself. Might as well get moving. With a grunt, I picked myself up off the ground, stashing my crafted goods, and then grabbing some fried snake from my inventory, tossing it in my mouth. It wasn't really food, here in the digital world, but it made me feel better and more alert. I pushed the workshop door open as I wandered outside into the gray morning. I wonder if coffee exists in Ascend Online. If I could corner the market in this world...
Hold! Identify yourselves!
A distant voice called out, causing me to start. I looked around and saw a bit of commotion stirring towards the gate as a pair of guards were motioning at something on the other side of the river bordering the village. I was too far away to hear what was happening at the other end of the conversation. Moving quickly, I jogged through the village towards the noise as other villagers nervously peeked their heads out of their homes. Many were still understandably on edge. A third guard heard my rapid approach and beckoned me with a look of relief on his face.
Lirian, there are people here asking for you by name.
The guard eyed me cautiously.
They look a bit worse for wear. I think they may be bandits.
I frowned a moment before laughing. Bandits? Well, let me have a look at them. As I peered through the gate, a ragged group of adventurers came into view. With each of them covered in dirt, mud, and wearing burnt clothes, I could definitely understand the guard's caution. On the other hand, I could have a bit of fun.
Well, aren't you the filthiest group of casuals I've seen this week?
I smiled at my friends.
About time y'all made it. Did that shortcut have you all swimming through dirt to get here?
Is that you, Lirian?
I heard Misha's, Sierra's, voice reply.
Please tell me it's you so I can fire an arrow right in your face and not feel bad about it.
Sierra, no. Zax, Caius's, voice replied.
Let me strangle him a bit first.
Ugh, fine. Aren't friends great? The guard beside me looked at me in bewilderment.
Sir?
They're expected. And despite their looks, not bandits, I whispered to the guards. I laughed and waved at the group.
Fine, I guess I'll let you all in. Try not to dirty up the place, though.
A moment later, the guards had the semi-repaired gate open, and we were all patting one another on the back while trying to catch up since we'd logged in.
You guys look like you had a rough trip.
I eyed them carefully and saw that their gear looked fairly damaged. I waved them to follow me as we made our way into the village and towards the town hall. I quickly took a moment to get my bearings and a closer look at their character choices. Peter, now known as Constantine, looked to be a pale-skinned half-elf with long dark hair. Armed with a single short sword and a backpack, he walked confidently without a single care in the world as his eyes took in the village. Misha, having chosen the name Sierra, caused my heart to skip a beat. Flame-red hair flared behind her as she moved with unearthly grace. There was no doubt in my mind she was a full-blooded elf. In her hand she held a bow, making her earlier threat much more believable to me. Zack chose the name Caius, and was also a half-elf, though in contrast to Constantine, he was dark-skinned and almost unhealthily thin. I idly wondered how he would have followed through with his desire to strangle me. He barely looked strong enough to stand up under the weight of his clothes. The only item of note I saw on him was a plain wooden club. Heron, taking the name Halcyon, was human through and through. Tall, dark-haired, with a full beard, I was confident that he took the same regional specialization as I did. He didn't seem to have any weapons on him, just a single backpack slung over his shoulders. Deckard, now known as Drace, was an absolute mountain of a man, standing taller than everyone else in the party, including me. Looked to be human, but I was fairly sure chose some sort of subrace due to his size. He had a backpack strapped to his shoulders as well, in addition to a plain wooden shield and short sword.
"Yeah, I'm not interested in making that trek again."
Constantine looked around the village as we walked.
"Iberia is placed in a weird spot geographically, despite not being too far distance-wise."
"What do you mean?" I hadn't thought about it until now, but a 2-day journey from a capital city wasn't really that far to travel, or for the area not to be already settled.
"The city is built on the coast," Halcyon explained. "But it's also in a bit of a cul-de-sac due to a cliff range that blocks it off to the north and northwest, with the ocean being directly towards the west and south. The only natural way to higher elevation is to detour 3 or 4 days east, and then to make it here you'd have to cut back northwest and backtrack for another 3 or 4 days.
"That still isn't that far, though," I mused. "Shouldn't this place be already settled, then?"
"You're forgetting about the war," Sierra said.
"Oh, right. What was that all about?"
I asked, the primer only having mentioned that Iberia had just ended a war with a nearby orc tribe.
"Oh, boy. Where to start? They gave us a pretty big history lesson during the Call to Arms event back in Iberia."
Sierra shook her head as she started to explain.
"Let's take a step back first. Iberia, the nation, was founded by a group of refugees from the Ascendant Empire roughly 40 years ago, led by a handful of major noble houses after the empire began to fall apart."
"What happened to the empire? There had been no mention at all about the Ascendant Empire in the primer."
"Well, the Ascendant Emperor was apparently obsessed with the idea of achieving godhood, and the entire empire was built around the near fanatical belief that the emperor was a god,"
Sierra continued to fill me in as we took seats at a table in the town hall.
"As the legend goes, and I'm paraphrasing here, on the day that the emperor was destined to ascend, something otherworldly took offense at the idea of a mortal ascending to godhood, and within the span of a few weeks, the entire empire was razed to the ground."
"Shit.
I know, right?"
Sierra took a breath before continuing.
"So during the fall, it was pretty much a mad scramble to get off of the old continent. People dying left and right, cities vanishing overnight. That's where our noble houses come in. They put aside their differences and evacuated an entire city, loading it up into barges, ships, and boats, setting off into the blue. Eventually, they landed on this continent and, as luck would have it, found a completely abandoned ruin of a city, Iberia, complete with a massive wall blocking access from the sea straight to the mountains, all protecting fertile farmland within."
"Well, that's convenient."
"I'm sure the developers thought it'd make for a great story,"
Sierra said, shrugging the coincidence away.
"Anyway, they set up shop in the city, declared a noble king, and began to rebuild the city. The problem was the orc tribes got wind of the settlement, and as it turns out, the ruins were kind of a holy city to them, a memory of their past masters, the Nefar."
"So they went to war." Sierra bobbed her head in acknowledgement.
"They did. The orc tribes are largely scattered throughout the southeast, which put them in a prime location to block access to the greater continent. They bottled up the Iberians and tried to dig them out. From all accounts, it was a brutal war," Sierra explained. "But with the war on Iberia's doorstep and their supply lines protected by massive fortifications, it ended up as a massive stalemate for decades."
"So what changed all of that? The orcs came to their senses and decided to leave?"
"The Dark Elves did, if indirectly," Sierra answered. Over the decades that the Orc tribes were at war with Iberia, the Dark Elf Empire continued to expand westward. They simply ran over whatever few minor tribes remained behind, putting them to the sword and burning their villages. Eventually, that news made it back to the major Orc tribes, and they were forced to abandon their campaign here to save what they could of their home. Not all the tribes agreed to that, and a great deal of infighting broke out during the withdrawal.
"Don't forget about the Iberian prince going off and killing himself," Constantine added helpfully.
"Oh, I'm getting to that,"
Sierra hissed, raining down half a dozen blows on Constantine.
"Don't ruin my story,"
clearing her throat.
"Right.
So, Prince Rhaenyra, heir to the throne, decides that on seeing the Orc tribes withdrawing, that it would be a great idea to sally forth with the entire Iberian army and crush them individually. It turns out it was a flawless idea." Sierra made a chopping motion with her hand. "The army absolutely devastated the divided Orc forces, and Rhaenyra was rumored to have personally killed half a dozen Orc chieftains during the battle. In a single battle, he completely cut the head off of the Orc leadership. Problem was that a lifetime of war breeds a lot of hate, and he didn't want to allow a single Orc to escape and lost sight of the battle. He pulled ahead of the army, and just like that," Sierra snapped her fingers, "he was surprised by an ambush, filled full of arrows and left for dead."
"Just like that?" I was surprised at the anticlimactic ending.
"That's war," Sierra said bluntly. "It doesn't care who you are." With the prince dead, Rhaenyra's son, Swain, became heir. Just in time, too, because age finally caught up with King Cyril, leaving the very young 20-year-old king.
20? Can he even be left alone unsupervised?
I started to get a better idea of the political landscape of Iberia.
How can they expect him to run a kingdom?
Poorly, most likely, since he comes off as a colossal dick,
Constantine grunted.
Kept going on and on about himself during the event, and how we should be so thankful for his leadership and all the money the crown spent on training the adventurers. I give him less than a year before he's killed by a player.
You think so? I asked as the group nodded their assent empathetically. So quickly?
You didn't see Iberia, so you didn't see the other players, Constantine explained.
We saw a blacksmith get robbed by a mob, simply because his gear was on display and easy to take. Another vendor was stabbed to death in the street because someone liked the hat they were wearing.
Sure, the guards came in, broke some heads, and threw the offenders in jail. Apparently killing an NPC unprovoked will get you 30 days of online jail time. If you log out, the timer stops.
That's harsh, but a good idea, I think. I nodded. NPCs won't respawn like we do.
Yeah, players are slowly getting the message. But by majority, people are acting like this is just any other MMORPG, and that NPCs are made to be walked over. It'll take time for the consequences to sink in. Right now, the only rule players are playing by is the rule might makes right.
I sighed and nodded. Then we need to make sure we're the strongest players around until they do. Chapter 13. So, with the war, it makes more sense why this place hasn't been settled until recently. But how did you guys get here so soon? I asked, hoping to get answers to their threadbare appearances.
Well, while we were messaging a few days ago, I overheard a few members of the Surveyors Guild talking about a network of ropes that they'd set up to help scale the cliff without having to trek around the ridge, Constantine explained. Long story short, we had a few issues, but we made it up without too many problems.
I almost died,
Caius exclaimed.
Ah, you're fine, Constantine waved a hand dismissively. Besides, you'll probably die a ton of times in this game.
That's not the point. You could have waited before setting fire to the ropes,
Caius continued, now glaring at Drace.
That wasn't my fault, Drace grunted. I just did what I was told.
Wait, what happened?
I gaped at my friends.
Oh, he's just annoyed because we lost some gear, Constantine shrugged. Nothing too serious.
And that we may technically be kill on sight for the Surveyors Guild now,
Sierra deadpanned.
Or face jail time if we're ever caught by them.
Wait, what? I shouted. Okay, so maybe they were going to use those ropes to create a lift. Constantine continued to wave his hands around dismissively. And maybe it wasn't so much as just setting the ropes on fire, but the entire supporting structure.
And other players,
Halcyon chimed in.
Why would you just decide to burn it?
I shook my head at the story unfolding before me.
Because they wouldn't listen, even after I throw one of them off,
Constantine explained as if it made perfect sense.
Okay,
I rapped my knuckles on the table, getting everyone's attention. I'm gonna need the full story here, because what we've got so far just isn't adding up.
Ugh,
Constantine rolled his eyes. So, we weren't the only ones that found out about the rope system, and there was another group of people that were making the climb with us. Follow?
So far so good, I said, giving Constantine a thumbs up.
Right. So, during the climb, we were mixed in with the other group of players climbing with us.
The thing is, once we got to the top, they decided they didn't want to play nice anymore and killed the two guards stationed there. Then they told me to strip and drop all my gear onto the ground.
So, naturally, you told them to suck a bucket of dicks, I said, still following the story.
So, naturally, I told them to suck a bucket of dicks.
Constantine nodded.
They didn't take my advice and tried to get handsy, so I decided to throw one of them off the platform.
Seems appropriate, I replied in full agreement.
Well, they decided that they didn't like that either, and by that point, two more had finished their climb.
Constantine mimed fighting with his sword.
I kept them at bay long enough for Drace to finish his climb.
Not with a sword, Drace cut in. But by smashing a lantern against the side of one of their heads in a wooden structure.
Okay, so maybe that wasn't the best idea at the time, but I barely knew what end of a sword to hold back then,
Constantine shrugged. I'm better at it now.
Right, I rubbed my face.
So you're fighting for your life, and now the place is catching fire? So then I yelled at Drace to grab something that's burning and set the ropes on fire.
So I did,
Drace nodded.
And set the rope the other members of their party were climbing on fire.
I was climbing it too, Caius yelled. Bro, calm down. Sierra caught you. You're fine.
Constantine waved at Caius's complaint dismissively.
You worry too much.
Right, so, after that the gloves came off, Constantine continued to explain. Drace and I managed to keep them from killing either of us until Halcyon made it up the other rope, and once he did, they didn't have a chance. Constantine ran a hand through his hair. But by that point, he made a whooshing sound. The place was completely aflame. Caius lost his pack when he fell, and Sierra had to cut hers loose when she caught him. Then it all burnt down. I finished. Pretty much, Constantine nodded. After that, we had to split supplies on our way up here. With the five of us roaming, creatures weren't much of a problem.
Until we ran out of food and water,
Halcyon added.
Did you know that you stop regenerating health if you haven't eaten?
I nodded. Yeah, found out the hard way, too.
Thankfully, Sierra managed to find us some wild potatoes,
Caius acknowledged with a nod in her direction.
Kept us going until today.
Well, we have plenty of food here you all can have. I smiled at the group while I collected my thoughts.
So, are you sure you're kill on site with the Surveyor's Guild, or you think you might be?
We might be,
Sierra said.
I didn't get a message, and my character sheet still lists me as neutral. But it wasn't a real secret that we were making the climb.
It's not like there was a sign-in sheet either, Constantine exclaimed,
before a thoughtful expression came over his face. They might be able to piece it together. Technically, the other group killed the guards, then we killed them. I sighed while rubbing my forehead. Yet another problem for the future, then. I leaned back in my seat as I looked over the group. Okay, first things first. Let's grab you all a bite of food. I pulled a beetle soup out of my inventory for everyone and was met with cheers.
Ah!
Trace exclaimed at the sight of food.
Oh, we needed that.
Constantine sighed with relief as he inhaled the soup.
Did you cook this?
Sierra asked between sips.
It's good.
Yeah, I learned the recipe from one of the cooks here, I explained. Managed to get a few other trade skills, too.
Ha!
Constantine laughed. Spawned days away from the starting area, and here we thought you'd be behind. What level are you?
I just hit level 9 yesterday, and now I need to train my skills before I qualify for the Spellsword class requirements.
I motioned my hand, summoning a flare momentarily before canceling the spell. The group looked at me blankly for a moment.
You're level 9. Of course you are.
Sierra barked a short laugh.
We just hit level 7. How the hell have you hit level 9 already?
Caius hissed.
We've been killing monsters the whole way here and haven't seen anything higher than level 5.
Well, I started. Yeah, what gives, Lear? Constantine broke in. You somehow spawned here, and now you're level 9? I see you have some fancy new armor you're wearing. And I noticed how those guards deferred to you at the gate. You start a cult?
It's been a busy few days. I gave the group a rundown of everything since I spawned in the middle of the goblin attack, not leaving anything out. By the end of my story, the group was shaking their heads.
Well, you certainly don't waste time.
Halcyon was the first to speak after I finished my story. The rest of the group was silently admiring Razor, which I had brought out to show off.
Don't worry, I thought of you guys too.
I stood up and started pulling the items I had crafted earlier from my pack, handing out the set of bronze-studded leather armor and weapons I crafted earlier to the party. I ran out of materials for bracers and shoulder pads. I figured you'd all appreciate some weapons instead. There was another round of excitement as everyone discarded some remnants of their old gear or simply slipped the new gear atop the clothes they already wore. Drace and Sierra grabbed the two long swords. Constantine and Caius split the pair of short swords, which left Halcyon holding the mace.
Unfortunately, I can't make bows, Sierra, I said while handing the weapons out. I haven't learned that trade skill.
No worries. I actually can.
Sierra smiled back at me while fastening her new sword onto her belt.
We were all given a choice of two trade skills in Iberia. I chose carpentry and mining.
Great. What did everyone else get? I couldn't help but already start planning a trade empire if I could get everyone else on board with crafting. Having finished putting on his new equipment the quickest, Halcyon filled me in on the group's choices.
I picked up tailoring and herbalism. Caius chose alchemy and herbalism. Drace and Constantine both took mining and logging.
There are a few other advanced trade skills we didn't qualify for just yet, but might be interesting,
Caius added.
Runecrafting, enchanting, gem cutting, and spellcraft. Though I don't know what the requirements are to learn them.
We'll have to keep an eye out, I nodded at Caius. We'll need to have all the core trades covered.
You said you ran out of materials for the armor? What do you need to make more?
Trace asked me while pulling his new chest piece on.
Metals, mostly. I have a fair bit of leather, but I'll need more of that as well if I start mass-producing stuff.
I replied, taking a quick look through my inventory.
A lot more. We have a decent amount of leather. Not that much ore, though.
Reaching into his pack, Drace pulled out a few items and set them on the table.
Is this any help?
Copper ore times 14, tin ore times 4, puma pelt times 17, fox pelt times 67, snake skin times 76.
Perfect, I exclaimed, looking over the materials. We'll need to find more metal, but I'll be able to find a use for all of this.
Grabbing the items, I put them in my backpack. I'd find some time to sort through all of it later.
So, Constantine began once everyone had finished putting on their new gear. What's our plan now?
I thought for a moment before answering, an idea forming in my head.
Have any of you tried to learn how to cook? I asked, while motioning for us to move towards a communal fire pit just outside the town hall. I burned water once, Halcyon shrugged. I stick to prepacks now.
Ugh. I shook my head as I grabbed a few pieces of wood from a stack and tossed them into the pit. I carefully lit it with a flare and kindled a small flame. I meant in-game.
Sorry, Lear. Haven't had the chance.
I was met with shrugs and negative headshakes from the others.
Well, that's gonna end now. Like you all know, you can start a fire easily enough.
I brought out the copper frying pan I crafted the other day and handed it to Constantine.
Not having food means not regenerating.
And not regenerating can mean death,
Sierra finished with a nod, looking at the rest of the men.
We've been down that road.
Over the next half hour, I showed everyone the basics of cooking, or at least Ascend Online's version of it. It only took a few minutes of frying meat for Constantine to learn the basics of the craft, and when he did, a wonderful message appeared in my vision.
You have successfully taught Constantine the basics of cooking. You have gained trade skill experience.
Ah! I exclaimed at the same time Constantine did. I just got experience for teaching you how to cook.
Neat! I didn't know you could do that.
Neither did I. I was hoping it would work, though. I took a moment to think about the skills I had acquired so far.
There's so little we know about this game. Hell, you could probably make a living just being a teacher in this game.
It makes sense, Sierra said, taking the frying pan from Constantine.
This world is huge. How often would you run across an NPC with the skills you wanted, let alone one willing to teach you?
Good point, I said, thinking about the implications, especially with my open-minded trait. Would I be able to teach others the same skills I learned? Just as I finished teaching Drace the basics of cooking, Shelia came walking by, still dressed in her formal robes from her morning prayers.
Good morning, Lyrian. I just heard about your friends arriving. Huh? Are you putting them to work already?
Ah, just introducing them to the realities of frontier life, I laughed as I introduced everyone to the priestess.
No doubt. Oldford welcomes you all.
Shelia smiled at the group.
I understand you've all come from the city. Do you wish to have your souls bound to this village?
I cocked my head at the odd question.
Bound?
Oh, yes.
Shelia nodded.
We know you adventurers are gifted with the ability to return from death to wherever your soul is anchored. I sense yours is bound here, Lyrian, but your allies, they are bound far to the southwest. It could be problematic to return to life so many days of travel away.
We all exchanged confused glances before Caius shrugged and stepped forward.
I don't want to make the trek here again. Please, bind my soul. Of course.
Shelia clasped a small sunburst symbol and murmured a prayer, causing a cool blue aura to briefly envelop Caius before fading away.
It is done.
With Caius leading the way, the rest of the party quickly jumped at the chance to ensure their respawn at Aldford.
We are all happy to have a trustworthy group of adventurers watching our village,
Shelia spoke as she bound the party to Aldford.
Not all adventurers are so kind. Some think their ability to return from death makes them better than those who cannot.
We've seen a few like that, Constantine nodded. Though they quickly learned the consequences, if they weren't lucky enough to be cut down where they stood.
Perhaps they will learn,
Shelia mused, then shuddered.
At times I wonder if returning from death is truly a gift. Adventurers don't tend to die peaceful deaths.
The conversation stalled a moment as Shelia's words echoed in our minds. Thankfully, the arrival of Jenkins broke us from our mental spiral.
Morning, Shelia. Lyrian.
Jenkins looked exhausted as he half-heartedly waved to the group.
This must be the other adventurers I heard about.
Jenkins' distrust of adventurers could barely be felt through the sheer exhaustion his body projected, his glazed eyes merely nodding at the party as introductions were made.
You look exhausted, dear,
Shelia fussed over Jenkins.
You're going to work yourself into the ground.
No way about it, Jenkins sighed. Not enough bodies to cover the night watches, or help with the work around the village.
How much sleep did you get tonight?
On seeing Jenkins, Shelia had fallen into healer mode as she peered into his eyes.
I finished my watch at third bell. I think maybe 3 hours. Can't sleep anymore, though. Need to make some bows for the guard.
Rubbing his face, Jenkins muttered,
"All we have to throw at an enemy outside the village is harsh language."
"I think not."
Shelia grabbed Jenkins by the arm.
"If you pick up a stool in this state, I'll be sewing your fingers back on by the end of the day. You're going to get something to eat and get some more sleep."
"Shelia,"
Jenkins began,
"I have so much to do."
"I've had enough."
Shelia started to pull the overworked man into the town hall.
"One more word and I'll hex you to sleep. Nice meeting you all, and I hope to see you around."
Shelia waved back at us, dragging a semi-compliant Jenkins.
"I need to make sure this dolt takes care of himself before he hurts something."
"That man looked dead on his feet,"
Drace mused as he ate a freshly cooked piece of meat. "He's the only crafter the village has," I shrugged, turning back to the group. "Also probably their second-best fighter, too."
"Shit. Really?"
I nodded at Drace as I put the copper pan back into my pack and motioned everyone to get moving. "All right, you guys up for heading back out in the wild? I want to get you all introduced to the area, and see if we can get you caught up to me today." Chapter 14. I noticed an extra spring of confidence from my friends as we walked out of Aldford and back into the wild. A half hour of relaxation, some new gear, along with a decent meal, went a long way to cure the beaten-down and tired-looking adventurers that arrived earlier.
"Yo, party up!"
Constantine's voice broke my thoughts as a notice appeared in my vision. "Constantine has invited you to the group."
"Sure."
I mentally accepted the invite with a nod. A moment later, I felt a new awareness emerge from the back of my mind. I could vaguely tell what direction everyone was from me, along with a general understanding of their health. Gone are the days of seeing everyone's health bars, I guess, I thought to myself as a pair of alerts appeared in my vision. "You are now the party leader. You now have access to the leadership menu."
"Past you, party lead,"
Constantine said at the same time as the new notices appeared.
"So where are we off to? You must have found a good spot to hit level 9 so fast." "Yeah, ow!"
I stumbled on a rock as I instinctively opened the leadership menu mid-conversation, only to have my vision taken over by a wall of text. "Congratulations on forming your first adventuring party. You have taken the first step in developing your leadership skills. Leadership skills are passive skills that will benefit all members of the party. In order for leadership abilities to take effect and to earn leadership experience, you must be in a party of 6 or more players. All effects immediately end if the leader is knocked unconscious, killed, or moves out of range of the party. In order to develop leadership skills, you must devote a portion of adventuring experience earned to unlock a leadership skill point. You cannot have more leadership skill points than 5 times your level. The current rate is set to 10%. Next leadership skill point, 0 out of 1,000 XP. Current leadership skills available. Increased health regeneration. Increased amount of health regenerated by 1, 0 out of 10. Increased mana regeneration. Increased amount of mana regenerated by 1, 0 out of 10. Increased stamina regeneration. Increased amount of stamina regenerated by 1, 0 out of 10. Increased movement, increase mounted and unmounted speed by 1%, 0 out of 10. Additional leadership skills may become available when certain adventure levels and or skills are met.
Sorry,
I blinked furiously as I mentally moved the wall of text into a corner of my vision. When you made me party leader, it unlocked the leadership menu for me.
Hmm?
Caius asked as everyone stopped to look back at me.
What's that?
I quickly explained to the party what the menu outlined and the options we had, getting more excited as I read.
This is pretty awesome.
No kidding,
Alcyon grinned.
Movement speed should be our first priority.
Definitely, Drace agreed. We're going to be constantly on the move, especially with overland travel.
The extra regeneration will help with downtime eventually, too,
Caius chimed in.
But yeah, with how far we had to travel to get here, anything that has us moving faster is a plus.
I nodded as I adjusted the leadership experience rate to 100%,
I wasn't gaining any experience right now, due to being locked at level 9 until I finished my base class requirements. I might as well put it towards something useful.
So? Constantine asked again once we resumed walking. Where are we off to?
There's a lake not far from here that I'll show you all. I motioned in the direction we were walking while explaining how I first found the lake, as well as briefly describing the underground ruins that I'd fallen into. I think there must have been something where the lake is now, at least something that would explain why the ruins existed.
Sounds like it may have been a supply tunnel to get in or out of whatever used to be there, Constantine suggested.
Good explanation as any, I shrugged. It's definitely been ages since whatever it was happened.
Is there anything worth exploring there? Sierra asked.
Not sure, to be honest. I explained the general layout of the ruin and the fight with the skeleton guardian. There was a blocked-off section, but we'd need to dig through it all, or get a team of NPCs to excavate it. Sensing that no one was eager to spend the day digging, I continued on with my original plan. I was actually going to take you to the Webwood. We should be able to get all of you up to level 9 quickly, so we can figure out our base classes. A thought struck me as I walked. I didn't really know what everyone was attempting to build, class-wise.
Hey, what races did you all choose? And how are you building your characters? Have you found out what base classes are available yet?
Yeah, Constantine was the first to answer. During our tutorial in Iberia, they had us jumping through a few hoops, which gave us a few recommended classes based on our playstyle. I'm half Iberian and half High Elf, and I'm planning on taking the Rogue class, since I have fairly good growth in agility and intelligence, Constantine continued. Plus, I'm all about the sneaky, stabby, thief-in-the-night thing. I also have an elf racial ability that gives low-light vision. I didn't expect how much we'd need it in this game.
I hear you there, I told Constantine, just as Sierra spoke up.
Since I'm enjoying archery more than I thought I would, I'm planning on taking the scout class, Sierra said excitedly. I chose pure high elf for my race, which gives me a strong agility and intelligence as well, along with low-light vision too.
Warrior all the way for me, Trace exclaimed. I'm half human and half giant, with a huge boost to strength and constitution, and I get special bonuses on certain martial abilities due to my size. No special seeing the dark vision for me, though.
It was an easy choice for me. I'm half Iberian and half dark elf, which gives me complete night vision, along with a high intelligence and willpower progression.
Caius grinned as he waved his fingers in the air.
I'm going right into dark magic and aiming to become a warlock.
Well, I've always been a spellcaster and don't see a reason to change now, Alcyon spoke as he conjured a blue missile in his hand. Choosing mage on my end, and I am a pure Iberian human like you, Lyrian.
Ah, what trait did you pick? I asked Alcyon excitedly.
Magical aptitude. All of my magic skills level faster in general, and is considered a level higher when it comes to determining their effect.
Awesome. I was interested to see how that would scale towards the later levels. We gradually made our way towards Crater Lake, killing a few dozen creatures unfortunate enough to cross our path. I took pains to show Sierra, Drace, and Constantine the basics of herbalism, and after a few failed attempts each, they managed to figure out the basics and successfully unlock the gathering skill.
Anything we need to know about this Webwood you're taking us to?
Sierra asked as she pulled a sprig of holly leaf from the ground.
It sounds spidery.
It's a good spot, I started to explain as the lake came into view. It's an area of forest not too far from here that's slowly being choked to death by an overpopulation of spiders. The worst thing about this place is the poison the spiderlings have. If you're not quick, they'll wear you down fast. That plant, I motioned to the holly leaf everyone had been collecting, will help you recover from mistakes. Make sure to keep some on hand and call out if you start to run low. If for whatever reason you bite the dust, well, we'll meet you back in Aldford at the end of the day. We're also here for another reason. I opened my journal menu and shared the quest the Bond gave me yesterday. You have shared the quest. Cleansing the Webwood, open, group, with the party. The village of Aldford is threatened by the encroaching spiders of the Webwood. Slay as many spiders as possible to relieve the threat against the village.
Spider slain, 0 out of 1,000. Difficulty, hard. Reward, experience, reputation, 100 gold pieces. Reward proportional to percentage contributed. There was a pause as everyone digested